word by word.
Synonyms? Pitamaha. My grandfather's the five Pandavas. Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva. Samare. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Amaram Jaya Hai. With fighters who could gain victory over the demigods on the battlefield. Devavrata Adja. Bhishma Deva and others. Atiratahai. Great commanders in chief. Timingilahai. Resembling great Timingila fish. Which can easily eat large sharks. Durachayam. Very difficult to cross. Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. The ocean of the assembled soldiers of the Kauravas. Ritva, considering such an ocean. Ataran, crossed it. Vatsapatam, exactly as one steps over a small hoof print of a calf. Sma, in the past. Yat plavaha, the shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. Droni of Ashvatthama. Astra by the Brahmastra. Viplushtam, being attacked and burned. Nidam, this. Matongam, my body. Santanabijam, the only seed left. The last descendant of the family. Guru Pandavanam. Of the Kurus and the Pandavas. Because no one but me lived after the battle of Kurukshetra. Jugopa gave protection. Kukshim within the womb. Gataha being placed. Atta Chakraha, taking in hand the disc. Matahu, of my mother. Cha, also. May, my. Yaha, the Lord who. Sharanam, the shelter. Gatayaha, who had taken. Viryani, the glorification of the transcendental characteristics. Tasha, of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akila Deha Bhajam, of all the material embodied living entities. Antapagi, inside and outside. Purusha, of the Supreme Person. Kalarupahai, in the forms of eternal time. Prayachataha, who is the giver. Mrityum, of death. Uta, it is so said. Amritam cha, an eternal life. Maya Manushyasya, of the Lord who appeared as an ordinary human being, by his own potency. Padashva, kindly describe. Vidvan, a learned speaker, Shukadev Goswami. The translation, Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Deva resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfather crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. Because my mother surrendered under Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshana Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashvatthama. Lord Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. So we repeat, taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. My grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Deva resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which is very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord Sudarshana Chakra in hand entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashvatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Arupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 58, Samasrita yet parapallava plavam mahatvadam punya yasho marare vambhurer vatsapatam parampatam parampatam yad vipatam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon. The ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's footprint. His goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 66, Aham Tvam Sarvapapi Bhu, Moksha Yashami Masu Shaha, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Parikshit Maharaj therefore felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness, ante Narayana Smritihi. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Pariksit Maharaj, therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Pariksit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna had saved Maharaj Pariksit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipable deity of the Pandava family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the super soul of all living entities, and he gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, was not at all a devotee, yet Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manusha, because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living beings. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy, Sambhavam Yatma Maya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as such at Ananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Swarupena Yavastitahi. This is the highest perfection of human life. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, of course, this verse describes the Pandavas and Kurus and the living entities in general who were taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So I want to describe what it means to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And actually, I'm going to describe two ways of taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Of course, one way is when things are out of your control, you can't do anything about it, and then you just like throw your hands up, like Draupadi did, when there was the attempted disrobing in the assembly of the Kurus, and she just let go of her sari, and Krishna provided unlimited sari. There are certain cases like that, right? Where you've tried your best, you've done everything under your control, and you just say, you know, I can't do anything else. Krishna, help me. And so there's that case. There's the case when Bhishma Dev was attacking Arjuna, and Krishna had to personally break his promise and take up the chariot wheel and rush at Bhishma Dev. And of course, Bhishma Dev was shooting him all these shooting arrows at him. And it's described that Krishna experienced the arrows that were hitting him like the bitings of a lover, whatever that means. In the sannyasins, I don't know these things. Anyway, so there's that incident, and there's several incidents like that where Krishna stopped the setting of the sun, where it made it appear that the sun had set, so that Arjuna could kill Jayadrath, because he had taken a vow to kill Jayadrath before the sun set, or else he would have killed himself. So there's several incidents like that. But more important to me is the methodology of taking shelter of Krishna through his instructions. And that you see just as prominent, if not more prominent, during the battle of Kurukshetra. Because we know that Krishna made a promise before the battle of Kurukshetra that he would not interfere. Actually, there was this whole story that Duryodhana and Arjuna were trying to get Krishna to be on their side during the battle of Kurukshetra. So Krishna basically said that whoever I see first in the morning will get to decide whether they will have me on their side and I won't fight, or whether they will have my army, the Narayanas. And they were could not be defeated, this Narayana army. So anyway, so what happened is that Krishna was taking rest, and Duryodhana came to Krishna, and he sat down right by Krishna's head. And Arjuna came a few minutes later and sat down by Krishna's feet. And then when Krishna, because Duryodhana thought he was being real tricky, that when Krishna woke up, he would just like turn over and look like that. I mean, most people don't look at their feet when they wake up. At least I can, because I wear glasses. I couldn't see them. But Krishna, because he actually takes those who take shelter of his feet first, then Krishna looked at his feet first when he woke up, and there was Arjuna. And he said, Arjuna, you get the choice. You can choose between me, and I won't fight, and my army. And Arjuna said, I want you. And Duryodhana was in ecstasy, so to speak, thinking, wow, this is Arjuna, he's stupid. I got Krishna's army, and Krishna's just going to sit there, you know, doing nothing, you know, driving a chariot maybe, but you know what, whatever. He can't even pull out his Sudarshan chakra disc. He's pretty helpless. So, anyway, so throughout most of the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna really didn't interfere, like, let's say, externally or physically. But Krishna interfered by giving instructions, which is very interesting. And these instructions that Krishna gave actually tested the devotion of his devotees, which is interesting. I mean, you find throughout the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and even before the battle, when Krishna was instructing Arjuna, giving him the whole text of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna was actually testing Arjuna. Because what does it mean to test? I mean, tests should be a little bit difficult, you know, challenging. So Arjuna was given one of the most difficult challenges, tests, that are imaginable. And that was, he was being asked to kill his grandfather, his guru. Of course, he wasn't too sad about killing his cousin brothers. That he was, you know, he maybe used that as an excuse, but he was enthusiastic. And certainly, Bhimsen was extremely enthusiastic. Bhimsen had taken a vow to kill all 100 of the sons of Dhritarashtra. And even when the other Pandavas had an opportunity to kill one of the sons of Dhritarashtra, they said, no, we're not going to kill you. This is Bhimsen's prasadam. This is actually meant for Bhimsen. So they just, you know, you can actually see, actually another interesting thing in the battle of Kurukshetra, that each and every one of the personalities, at least the Pandavas, they had vowed to kill specific individuals. And the other Pandavas, even when they could have killed those individuals, they just held back. They said, well, that's actually the duty of this other brother. They respected that. Interesting how they vowed, you know, I'm going to kill this person. I'm going to kill Drona. I'm going to kill Shikhandi. So that's one interesting thing. However, Krishna actually tested throughout the battle of Kurukshetra the devotees' dedication and trust in him and faith in him. And let's tell some stories about that. One, of course, is the story of Drona being killed. Drona could not be defeated unless he put down his arms. Arms means the implements of war, not arms like that. You know, that's a saying for implements of, you know, of war. So the only way he could be defeated in that regard was if he heard that his son Ashwatthama had been killed. So then Krishna tested Yudhisthira. Actually, Yudhisthira didn't pass the test, which is interesting. Krishna told Yudhisthira, you have to declare that Ashwatthama is dead so that Dronacharya will trust you, because Yudhisthira was known as someone who never told a lie. In fact, throughout the whole history of the Mahabharata, Yudhisthira actually sometimes even practically gets in trouble because he can't tell a lie. I mean, for example, when the Pandavas were acting as Brahmanas, Yudhisthira was asked, are you Brahmanas? And Yudhisthira couldn't say yes, you know, he's just hesitating. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So Krishna asked Yudhisthira to tell a lie, to say that Ashvatthama is dead. And Yudhisthira said, no, I can't lie. Even if you're telling me to say this, Krishna, I've taken a vow never to tell a lie. And so Krishna had to arrange that Bhimsen would kill this elephant named Ashvatthama so that Yudhisthira could go and declare that Ashvatthama is dead, or Bhimsen has killed Ashvatthama. And therefore, that was one of Krishna's many tricks during the battle of Kurukshetra. Hmm. Another trick, of course, was the using Shikhandi as a human shield so the Grandfather Bhishma could be defeated. Hmm. Because Grandfather Bhishma was, as described here, like a Timangila fish. A Timangila fish, as Prabhupada describes in the purport, is so big that it can basically eat an ocean liner, what to speak of a great white shark. So Grandfather Bhishma could not be defeated. He had the benediction that he wouldn't die unless he wanted to die. And so there was no question of defeating him, but it was absolutely necessary to defeat him to win in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So what happened was very interesting. Krishna knew that there was this other son of Drupada. His name was Shikhandi. And Shikhandi's story is quite interesting. Because Shikhandi, the movie's not accurate in this regard. Actually, the Mahabharata describes that Shikhandi was the incarnation of this lady Amba, who Grandfather Bhishma had offended by taking her away from her intended husband to marry Vichitravirya, and then her intended husband Shalva didn't want to accept her back, and she took a vow eventually to be the cause of the death of Grandfather Bhishma. So she appeared as Shikhandi, but the interesting thing is when Drupada was told, he was actually told by Lord Shiva that you're going to have a son. But what happened is a daughter came out. And when the daughter came out, Drupada thought, well, I have faith in Lord Shiva. So it must be a son, even though it looks like a daughter. Somehow or other, you know, that's the faith of a devotee. Can you imagine that? Like Prabhupada talks about, the guru says, it's a rope or it's a snake. Of course, you don't want to be blind like that. But Prabhupada said that the devotee should have that implicit faith. Yasha devi prav bhaktir yata devi dita guru tashayate katitari artha prakashante mahabhina. One who has that implicit faith in guru and the Vedic literatures has everything revealed to him. So anyway, so this Drupada, he had faith in Lord Shiva. And he thought, well, it must be a son. So he arranged for this girl to marry another girl. And this wasn't in Kali Yuga. This was in the previous ages when men were men and women were women. And so what happened is this, he arranged for another princess to marry his daughter because he had faith that his daughter was a man. Anyway, so what happened is there was this arrangement, and after the Swayamvara, after the marriage ceremony, the Vaha Yajna, the two girls got together and they discovered they were two girls. And this is not Berkeley we're talking about, or Boston. So they discovered they were two girls. And this girl from the other kingdom went to complain to her father, hey, you know, they married me to another girl. And so the father got ready to attack the kingdom of Drupada, and Drupada was all upset about it. And Shikhandi thought, well, I'm the cause of all this difficulty. Let me go and commit suicide. So she went to the forest to basically commit suicide, but then there was a yaksha there, Stunavara or something like that. Anyway, and he took pity upon her. He said, look, I'll solve your problem. You can have my masculinity, and I'll take your femininity. And so they did a switch. And so when they switched, Shikhandi came back as a man. But the deal was that when after everything was settled with the princess and the previous king and everything like that, then she would give back the masculinity, or he would give back, or she, or whatever you're talking about, to give back the masculinity to this yaksha. So in the meantime, Guvera came and visited the yaksha. The yaksha didn't show up because he was embarrassed, because he was a lady. I mean, I certainly would be. So, and then Guvera got angry, cursed the yaksha, and said, you're going to remain a lady until Shikhandi dies. So Shikhandi was actually born as a lady, later transformed into a man. Like I said, the movie's not accurate in this regard. But Grandfather Bhishma knew this because he had all these different spies everywhere. So what happened is that Krishna knew this also, and he told Arjuna, use Shikhandi as a human shield, and Grandfather Bhishma would not fire Shikhandi because Grandfather Bhishma had taken a vow not to fire it at a woman or anybody who previously was a woman in this life, or I guess in the previous life. He knew what was happening. And then, so anyway, by Krishna's arrangement or trickery, Arjuna was able to fire all these arrows at Grandfather Bhishma and knock him down completely. Didn't kill him. Of course, Grandfather Bhishma had the benediction of not dying unless he wanted to. But he was incapacitated. And of course, he chose the time when he would leave his body, an auspicious time when Krishna was there, when he was able to look at Krishna's lotus feet and remember Krishna's pastimes. So you see this throughout the battle of Kurukshetra, that Krishna is giving instructions rather than personally, let's say, interfering or externally interfering. Even at the final moment, we find that Bhimsen was fighting Duryodhana, and Duryodhana previously had been made invulnerable, except in the midsection, through the midsection of his body. That was also Krishna's trick. Because when Duryodhana was going to see his mother was going to take off her blindfold, of course that was Gandhari, and make Duryodhana invulnerable, whatever part of the body she saw. Krishna said to Duryodhana, this is a great offense to appear before your mother naked. I mean, you can do that when you're 1 year old. But, you know, they were quite old at that time. Actually, Krishna was about 125 in the battle of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna was about the same age. Duryodhana was a little older. So you can imagine he was about 126, 127 years old. That didn't look old. He wasn't decrepit like we do. But still, you know, to appear before your mother when you're 125, I guess that's not so bad. So anyway, Krishna said, you know, cover the midsection of your body, and therefore the midsection of the body was not invulnerable. And so what happened is that Krishna indicated to Bhimsen, when Bhimsen was fighting with Duryodhana and getting frustrated because he kept hitting him with the club and he kept bouncing off, because his body was like stainless steel. Bing, 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 bing. And Duryodhana was going, smiling, showing his teeth. You suffer. And just, you know, giving a little punch to Bhimsen in the meantime. So Krishna just like, you know, he patted his waist like that, underneath the waist. He patted his thigh like that. And Bhimsen got the hint. And he killed him in that way. So anyway, the reason that I'm mentioning all these things, not that this is a class about the battlefield of Kurukshetra, although that would be nice, the reason I'm mentioning all these things is that we find that taking shelter, the point I'm making is taking shelter of Krishna means to take shelter of Krishna's instructions, and not necessarily to think that Krishna's going to do every damn thing for you. And that's the process of sadhana bhakti. Sometimes we think, you know, Krishna, just take away these material desires. Let me wake up tomorrow morning without kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, varya, vaya. Let me see your transcendental form. Where are you, Krishna? I really want to see you, Lord. It takes so long to know. So the point is that we have to take Krishna's, taking shelter of Krishna. This is the real point of class. Taking shelter of Krishna means to take shelter of Krishna's instructions and work like anything to institute Krishna's instructions, struggle, like the Pandavas had to do. I mean, Krishna could have killed everybody, and Krishna ultimately did kill everybody by the time factor, as Krishna showed Arjuna when he was manifesting the universal form. But to actually struggle and depend on Krishna, this is the point. Rather than thinking that Krishna will do everything for you externally and you can just rest. What man proposes, God disposes, but the point is we work hard. Controlling the senses, struggling every day, trying to chant without offenses, and then Krishna will give you the strength and the ability, but you gotta work at it. And so take shelter of Krishna's instructions. Don't wait for Krishna just to come and take care of you while you're sleeping in bed.